from the campus of Stanford University, this is Schools In.
They believe that what we're being told is everything they need to know, and they just pay attention to that.
You actually have to teach the teachers how to teach for innovation.
With your hosts, Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope.
Hello, my name is Dan Schwartz. I'm a professor and dean at the Graduate School of Education here at Stanford.
And I'm Denise Pope. I'm a senior lecturer here at the Graduate School of Education and co-founder of an organization called Challenge Success.
So, Denise, homework.
Homework.
Homework. You know, so when I first moved to the Bay Area, my son went into ninth grade. So he's just starting high school. And the first night he came home with his homework assignment that is about 2 a.m. and he's still working on it. And he really wants to do good, you know. And I said, you have to go to bed. And this was a mountain of homework. And so an otherwise great teacher, I went and I spoke to her and I said, what were you doing? She said, I didn't think any kids would actually finish this homework. I thought this was like an abomination of how to use homework. Is it always this bad?
It's not always this bad, but I will say this. For about 100 years, there have been homework wars. There are people who think there should be more. There are people who think there should be less. There are people who use the Las Vegas analogy. I just heard this the other day. What happens in school should stay in school and don't add to our, you know, woes as parents.
No, there is something about homework tends to be kind of the worst part of school foisted on home, for sure.
Well, it's one of the things. It's really, if you think about it, one of the few places where school and home come together. And so this idea of, you know, can we continue school into the wee hours of the night? Should the parents be the nighttime teacher? Are you responsible as a parent to make sure your kid does it? And I think this idea of how much, how often, what's its purpose has a lot of people scratching their heads. So I can tell you this. One of the things that we do at Challenge Success is we survey kids as to how much homework they have. And one of the things that we find out is with high-achieving kids, in particular at the middle school and high school level, they have a lot. They're like, it's the story of your kid, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of them think that it's busy work or meaningless. And the problem with that is when you have a lot – and you don't know the purpose of it, you're not going to really do it well. So we also see a lot of cheating, a lot of copying, a lot of parents helping with homework. So one of the things that we wanted to know is how do we help schools come up with better homework policies, and how do we help parents know what to do at home? And it turns out there's a lot of things that we can do.
It seems to me there's this literature called deliberate practice, and it looks at how people become experts. And a great study looked at violinists at a famous school, and they had homework. And they had violinists who were going to become concert violinists. And they had violinists who were learning for other reasons. And at 10 o'clock a.m., they would both practice for an hour and a half. And the big difference between the two, can you guess?
Wait, I'm stuck on why would a violinist practice if they don't? There are some kids just practicing for fun.
Well, these are actually grown-ups,
okay,
that are preparing for careers in music, some to be concert violinists, some, you know, to be teachers or to just play, you know, more casually with friends or a rock group or something like that. And they both practiced from like 10 to 11:30, and there was a huge difference between the two in the way they did this homework.
Okay. I would guess that the ones who wanted to be the concert violinists were taking it much more seriously.
Yes. And the way you knew it is because after they were done, they had to nap. They had to go to sleep.
They were exhausted.
Because they worked so hard, because they were fully concentrated on what they're doing. So if kids are getting homework for 3 or 4 hours, there's no chance they're actually concentrating on it.
For that whole time. Exactly. Yeah. So think about this. You have a whole day at school, right? And I don't know about you. I used to come home from school. Literally, my sister did a whole photo album of me falling asleep on the couch every day after school, because it's so intense. You have to go to class. You have to pay attention. You have to worry about your friends and your acne and, you know, puberty and all this stuff. It's like really hard.
Don't,
right?
Bring it up.
Oh,
I still worry about it.
I know. And then you know that after you have that whole day, and that's not even counting soccer practice or violin practice or whatever it is, theater, dance, ballet, you then have hours and hours of homework. Most adults at the end of a workday can't possibly then put in 2 to 3 hours, to your point, of really intense concentration to get it done. And if you're not paying enough attention and you're not really doing this deliberate practice like you're talking about, then it does seem like it's just busy work and meaningless, or You're copying, right? You're cutting corners.
So is the issue with homework that I could be doing something better with my time, or is it that the homework itself is just a bad idea?
So it's kind of both.
Yeah.
So the nature of the homework is really important. If the kids think it's meaningless or busy work, it's not going to be taken seriously and it's not going to have the effect. If they are spending all day in school and then soccer and ballet and whatnot, and homework is keeping them from doing really important things that we know they need to do, like sleeping or spending time with family or free outside play, right, then there's a problem. But what I want to do is I want to break this into different grades, because it does matter what grades you're in. Mm-hmm. In elementary school, there are no good studies out there to show that there's a correlation between homework and achievement. None. Zero. What those little kids should be doing is really playing.
So the lack of evidence doesn't mean it's true. It's not true.
Right. But we've been giving homework for years and years and years. These little kids have hours of homework. So it's hard. Let me point this out, though. It is hard to do a good homework study. And here's why. Okay?
Because no one wants to do it.
Because no one wants to do it. You don't know when you ask for recall, right? Is this really accurate, how much time the kids have spent when they're recalling it? How much homework did you have last night? And you tie that to their grades, or you tie that to their achievement scores. You can't really isolate, is that from homework, right? There's studies that are really making a mess of things. They're looking at overall achievement on a test, but they're not tying it back to that exact homework. So right. It's really hard to measure homework. Here's the other thing. If you measure homework compared to kids' grades, there are some teachers who count homework as part of a kid's grade. Like, if you do your homework, it's part of your grade. And then, so now you're really conflating the two.
So I want to get back to this point about sort of different ages. So, I was that kid at school who sort of never did homework.
Yeah.
I don't quite know how I got away with it.
Were you a genius?
No. I think I was sly.
Okay.
You know, so like I would scrawl something on the bus on the way to class. And I got through. I got into an okay college. And then my freshman year, I got slaughtered.
At your freshman year of college?
Yeah, because I didn't know you were supposed to do homework.
Right.
And I had never practiced. I never learned it. So
right.
It seems like – and in college, you know, you're only in classes 6 hours. So
right.
you really do need the homework. So there's got to be some point along the way where these students need to learn some of the discipline and ways you do homework and things like – learn on your own.
Good. So this is why – we have a guest here from Palo Alto Unified School District. Sharon Ofick is the Chief Academic Officer for Secondary Education at Palo Alto and a former principal of Jane Lathrop Stanford Middle School in Palo Alto. And I would like to just say that she is a case study in the book that Challenge Success wrote called Overloaded and Underprepared: Strategies for Healthy Stronger Schools and Healthy, Successful Kids. And Sharon did an amazing thing at JLS, and she's here to tell us about it. So welcome, Sharon. We're so glad you're here.
Great to see you.
And so tell us, when you were principal at JLS, you experienced a lot of grief over homework. You had a lot of parents complaining to you. Tell us about that and what you did.
Sure. So when I first arrived at JLS, I started meeting with different stakeholders and talking with people just to get a feel for the school and see what was going on and see what areas they needed to focus on and start prioritizing those. And one of the things that I noticed when I went from group to group was a conversation around the quantity of homework being given. In some cases, it was too much. And in some cases, parents thought it wasn't enough. And I eventually went to the students and just had some conversations with students in some small groups or one by one in my office or out on the blacktop at lunchtime. We had some conversations about that. And there was a clear trend of homework is something you do because you do it. No real understanding about the meaning or the purpose of homework. So we came together as a staff, and I presented this concern that had come my way and said that we were going to go ahead and start delving into it and start looking at it. And I got some pushback, for sure. But we went ahead and we charged forward with this idea of why do we give homework? What do we give homework for? And we started collecting information. And then we proceeded.
What is the answer? Why do we give homework? What did people say?
Right. So we had a variety of different responses from teachers. And part of it, I would like to suggest, might have been a generational thing where you tend to do what you learned to do when you went to school. And you have a very wide variety of staff when you have 80 or so teachers. So we had a variety of different responses that were pretty much across the board, like, well, that's just what we do because that's what teachers do. Teachers teach in school and give homework at night. And then we had people who were much more intentional about why they gave homework. So we had a variety of responses. And so the whole idea became around the whole idea had to be around how do we calibrate and how do we develop a common understanding and how do we proceed. We also looked at our existing homework policy, which was just one tiny paragraph, two or three sentences. And so that was also a piece of evidence that we looked at.
Tell us about – I know that one thing you did was a shadow day. Tell us about the shadow day.
So one of the things that we did was create an experience for teachers to have the experience of a student. We called it Student for a Day. We did it with purpose and intention to gather feedback and to create empathy in the adults to run through a day of a student and walk in their shoes and see what that's like.
So did they like have to carry backpacks with like 10 pounds of books and stuff?
Great question. They did. So here's what we did. So I literally, I opened up a window of time, like a whole month schedule it. Anyone who was interested in doing it could do it. And when the student, and I say that in quotes, the student showed up for the morning, we treated them like a brand new student who was newly enrolling. We assigned them a locker. We gave them a schedule. We gave them, in some cases, we gave them what we called or referred to as Panther Pals, which is a buddy. And in other cases, we didn't, so that there was a when it came time for the feedback, we had, what was it like to be a new student without a buddy? And what was it like to be a new student with a buddy?
So this is an adult going through a full day of school from the other side of the desk.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
And how did they handle that?
So some people were a little nervous. Some teachers showed up with notes from their doctors to excuse them from PE. so we have all the humorous pieces. and other people showed up and were a little bit concerned about who am I going to eat lunch with and things like that. They would come in my office and ask me questions and say, can I eat lunch in my classroom, like with my substitute and check it, things like that. So there was some anxiety, which I think actually played into the whole aspect of mimicking a student's schedule, especially as a new student.
And then they were required to go home and do the homework. Right.
So we didn't require them to do the homework, but we did ask them to consider what it would be like. And we asked them actually their homework was to fill out a reflection sheet. And I, of course, gave them some extended time. It didn't have to be due the next day.
But they couldn't even do their homework on time is what you're telling me.
Possibly. Some people did need a reminder. but we went ahead and then had, after this 1 month period of time, had all the participants share out with their colleagues. It was very clear from the very minute we started this that this was not an evaluation of your colleague, but just to have that experience and to see what it felt like. And we got a lot of feedback. There's a lot of rushing from class to class and feeling like you have to always be prepared. And teachers got hungry at interesting times of the day. Teachers commented on having to manage bathroom breaks differently from being an adult. Things like that had a huge impact and I think were immediate changes that they made in their own classrooms to make the experience more welcoming for new students and better for students who travel from room to room all day long. I think they relaxed their policies a little bit around that. And then we, of course, followed up with some conversation around, all right, here's a full day. You all, 18 or 20 of you, have commented that you were exhausted by the end of the day. Now imagine all you had to do is fill out a two-page, 10-question survey. you know, imagine if you have homework from everyone.
Right.
And how exhausted you'd be.
So then talk about, this is where Sharon does such an amazing thing. She allows for experimentation and she lets the teachers experiment with homework. So walk us through what that looked like.
Sure. So the next phase was around, here's all this data, here's all this information that we've been gathering and collecting and sharing with you. What do we do now? And at our school, we are a teamed school. So sixth grade students have two teacher teams and seventh and eighth grade students have four teacher teams. We went ahead and let each team develop and design their own experiment. Some teams started with collecting information about student thoughts around how much time they were spending on homework. Some teams surveyed their students about what homework they did first and why, to try and get inside their thinking on their prioritization skills. Some teachers said, you know what, we're throwing homework out for the entire third quarter, and we're just going to keep anecdotal records in the classroom. So I gave an entire quarter of time for teachers to just run their own experiments. I asked that they share them with me, of course, because if you're going to do that, you need to be able to support them in their efforts and make sure that there isn't concern about what's going on. And if there is a concern, I need to be aware so I can support them with parents or kids or learning that's happening. So that was a really successful time period. And then again, we came together as a staff at a staff meeting and everyone shared out and we had some conversations and we proceeded to revise our homework policy.
Right. And just to wrap it all up, the revised policy puts the onus on kids, parents, and teachers to make homework really developmentally appropriate, to look at how they're using it.
Purpose and meaning were the first two things, purpose and meaning, when we first revised these. And we also turned them from a policy into guidelines, which sounds a little bit silly, but it means a lot. There's, as you pointed out, there's not a whole lot of solid research on homework. So we had some recommendations that we could follow, but we had to really parse this out and say, what is the student's role in this? What is the teacher's role in this? And what is the parent's role in this? Because we all, as you said, we all intersect around homework.
Right. So when we come back, we are going to hear tips. You're listening to Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope from the campus of Stanford University on Sirius XM Insight 121.
Students focus on what they were told, not paying attention to the situation.
This is Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope.
So they're not going to see anything new because they're so busy trying to copy what you told them.
From the campus of Stanford University.
You're listening to Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope from the campus of Stanford University on Sirius XM Insight 121. And we are here with Sharon Ofek, who is the Chief Academic Officer for Secondary Education in Palo Alto Unified School District, who told us of an experiment that she let her teachers do after shadowing and working on different homework policies. And Sharon, how did that all end up? What's the current guideline for homework at JLS Middle School?
So we currently have a set of guidelines that speak to the student role, the teacher role, and the parent role. There are four or five little features under each responsibility piece. But teachers, for example, are asked to coordinate with their colleagues around due dates and homework assignments and big projects so we don't stack them one on top of the other. They're asked to really consider the purpose and meaning of why they're assigning the homework. They're asked to be very clear with the students around the purpose about why the students are being asked to complete the work, to be very careful around differentiation as well.
So let me just ask, what about a parent who says, my kid's got way too much? You've got this policy.
I'd like to try a different
okay.
Yeah, I'd like to be a curmudgeon a little bit.
Oh, Dan.
You know, there's value to ritual. And kids' lives, you know, they should sit in hard wooden chairs, not soft, cushy chairs like the adults who walk around all day would like. So, you know, I'm a parent. I want my kid to have some discipline. And, the homework, I don't care if it's meaningless. This is something he should do because this is structure in his life, and we do lots of rituals that have no big purpose. How do you respond to me?
So I think we would probably use your student and look at their workload and what they're learning in class and their performance. And we'd call the teachers together and we'd explain what we're doing and how your student is performing. And we then pull in the whole concept of differentiation and what the teachers can do to extend that student's learning.
So you gang up on it.
Well, possibly.
Because you're wrong, Dan. Because you're wrong, right? Like, I mean, put it this way. Let's take Dan, the kid who did no homework but kind of got away with it in school. You can have kids getting straight A's on tests who don't do any homework. And so why are you going to force that kid to do homework?
Because ritual is important.
Many other rituals in this world that are actually meaningful, though. Right? No?
No, I think the point of a ritual is that it's just a regular practice that you do that mm-hmm. everybody's done and we've all shared. We sort of share common cause. And, if I couldn't complain about homework, my life would be a little empty.
Yeah. Right. So I would like to comment on that a little bit, that's okay. So first of all, I've never ganged up on anyone, but we certainly do try and share our perspective with families who the rare family who comes in and says, I want more homework. But one of the things about rituals that you're saying, I think there's a real value and an important component of our lives that should include independent reading. That could be a ritual. So there are alternatives to what homework can be. And if I know that our language arts teachers often assign independent reading outside of school. Our kids doing that, our parents expecting that. That's one way that we would maybe address that.
So really the take home that I keep hearing is that homework needs to have a purpose. And you need to know exactly, are you having the students do this to memorize? Are you having students do it to learn discipline, time management? Are you doing it so that they just get more experience reading things in a sustained block of time mm-hmm. they can't do in school?
I would go further than that, Dan. There's nothing out there that says that this is the best way to teach responsibility. So in middle school and high school, there's pretty good studies that show correlation, especially with free reading, with academic achievement. In elementary school, if parents are making their kids do homework, if schools are making the kids do homework, you really do have to take another look and say, what would be better time spent for these kids? We know that they need to spend time with family, they need to sleep, they need to play. So if you're a parent out there who's struggling with homework, I think you have to go to the school and really talk to them and say, this is what's going on in my house. Hopefully you have a principal as nice as Sharon who's willing to talk to you and look and allow teachers to do these accommodations and differentiation. But I think a lot of parents out there wrongly think that they have to force the kid against their will to sit down and do hours and hours when really what a lot of these kids need is to run around and play and really learn how to be kids.
This is just sort of incidental, but do we actually know the percentage of kids who do their homework for the number of hours they're assigned?
So the studies are really different because if you're looking at different populations of kids, right? So there are a lot of kids out there who do no homework.
So we're looking at me because I was a terrible parent for my kid doing homework. That's what I'm trying to find out here.
You want to know if you ruined your child?
Yes.
No,
yes.
You did not ruin your child. Every parent out there is trying to do as much as they can do. Okay. And you do the best that you can. But I think that the point here is to be in conversation with the school. If there's struggling going on at your home, the teachers need to know. If you're feeling like your kid is really struggling with this whole idea of homework, we've got to be there to help.
And we have that written into our parent responsibility list, which is about monitoring the time spent on homework and then communicating with the school and but also encouraging the student to become a self-advocate. As kids get into the higher grades, we want them to build the capacity to advocate for themselves around, look, this took me a really long time because I didn't understand it. This is what I didn't understand, and I need help, or whatever the case is in that regard. But on the parent side of it, in addition to supporting that advocacy, to really monitor that, and if the student is unsuccessful in resolving that issue on their own, to jump in and say, hey, my child spent a really long time in this assignment and we would like to bring that to your attention. What was your intention there in a little bit nicer way than,
So at one point when I was teaching, I had a student who I was trying to get her to understand how big is big. I said, look, if you make a tally mark up to 1,000,000 tally marks, I'll give you an A. So this was a mistake. The parents came in and sort of said, my daughter has been making tally marks for 3 weeks now.
I cannot believe you assigned that, Dan. That's scary.
We all learn. We all learn. No, it was a mistake.
Making mistakes is good. So I just want to thank Sharon for being here. Sharon, thank you so much for your expertise. We so appreciate it. And we know that if you want to learn more about Sharon and the case study at JLS, you can read it in the chapter of the book, Overloaded and Underprepared. Thank you again for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And so just a few tips that I heard that I want to reiterate, and you can jump in. If you're a parent and your kid is struggling at whatever age, you got to let the school know. We should have a no-tears policy when it comes to homework. Life is too short, one thing. I think for teachers to be purposeful and really understand the what you're asking for, the correlation between achievement and free reading is pretty high, so to encourage free reading with kids. But the other thing that worked for my kids was something called get out of homework free passes. And just to know that if there's a day where, you know, you've got a soccer match or it's grandma's birthday or whatever, and you have that pass, it really does lower the stress. So to think about ways where you can, as a teacher or as a parent, maybe even make the suggestion of, is it okay to have a day where you don't get everything in on time, where we're not perfect 100% of the time? Can you look at how you're grading homework? And if it's a big part of the grade, you probably want to rethink that, because there's a lot of reason kids can or can't do homework, including not having a parent at home to make sure that they have that space and the materials. So lots of ideas here around homework. If you're struggling, I'm sure we can help you out. And as you think through really what it is you want your kid to be doing after school, I think you want to use the mnemonic aid that we use at Challenge Success, which is PDF. Doesn't stand for portable document format. It stands for playtime, downtime, and family time, because there is really good research on that showing that that's what kids really need.
This is great. This is really helpful. So as a parent, my child comes home with homework. I should feel free to go to the school and sort of say, I don't quite understand why my child's doing so much homework. Is there a way we can work through this? And then with my child, try and find ways to sort of alleviate the pressure of having to complete these tasks, which might feel meaningless.
Exactly. And put it in perspective, right? And it doesn't have to be done perfectly. We have a lot of parents who grade and correct the homework. They literally sit next to the kid every night. A lot of these teachers are assigning homework for exploration. They're assigning homework to just try this problem. Go back to that teacher who said, I never thought anybody could do the problem.
Yeah.
You know, the kid should not have stayed up till 2 a.m., right? But the teachers have to communicate that then. What is the purpose of homework? Is this for exploration? My own kid has a great math teacher right now. The math teacher says, try this for 20 minutes. Try these problems. If you can figure them out, great. If not, don't worry. We'll come back to class and talk about it the next day.
You're listening to Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope from the campus of Stanford University on Sirius XM Insight 121.
From the campus of Stanford University, this has been Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope.